الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد My dear brothers and sisters, we come to the last of the lessons from Surah Al-Kahf. The four stories of the surah which I mentioned already. In the middle of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Iblis. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his action, which was an action of arrogance, where Iblis refused to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite having knowledge of who is giving the command. Now, a big lesson for us, which is the lesson of obeying without question. Islam means to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submit what? Submit everything. Submit our will, submit our desires, submit our speech, submit our actions. Everything. We think as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to think. We feel or try to feel as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to feel. We speak as Allah ordered us to speak, and we act as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to act. Submission of these four things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will is the name, which is the name of that is Islam. Now, Iblis did not do this. So, questioning or refusing to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite having the knowledge of who is giving the command, this is the essence of kufr. This is the meaning of kufr. Islam does not talk about obedience without thinking. It talks about obedience without questioning. And why do we obey without questioning? Because we have already thought and we have concluded who our Rabb is. We have concluded what is our position with respect to our Rabb. We will not be questioned about rububiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be questioned about the uluhiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question in the qabr is not describe your Rabb. The question in the qabr is who is your Rabb? And who is your Rabb is not a question of about rububiyat. It's a question about uluhiyat. Who did you worship? Who did you hold as your Rabb? They are not asking you who is Rabbul Alameen. Describe Rabbul Alameen. What are the sifat of Rabbul Alameen? No, this is, who is your Rabb? What is your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Question of uluhiyat. Who did we worship? You enter Islam not by glorifying Allah, but by saying La ilaha illallah. By accepting that I worship only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. So, sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the essence of Islam. And that's the reason why, with respect to salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the famous hadith, he said, Bainana wa bainahum as-salah. Waman aradaha faqad kafara. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, the al-ahadu alladhi bainana wa bainahum as-salah. He said, the ahad, the covenant, the line differentiating the Muslim from the non-Muslim, Al-ahadu alladhi bainana wa bainahum. The ahad between us and them is as-salah. Waman aradaha faqad kafara. He said, the one who leaves it has left Islam. It is such a frightening position, and this is the ruling of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is something on which all the sahaba were agreed upon, that to leave salah, even to leave one salah deliberately, I'm not talking about somebody overslept and so on, that does not apply, they can make khada inshallah, but deliberately leaving a salah, saying okay, I'll pray, I don't have to pray. Now this is very dangerous, and that is where Iblis comes in. So Iblis knew who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu was. He had what is called the knowledge of mushahida, of seeing. Despite that, he chose to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only did he choose to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see the mercy and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even with regard to Iblis. The mercy of Allah, even with regard to Iblis. Because what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do when Iblis refused to make sujood to Adam alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not simply destroy him. Allah asked him, why did you do this? Yeah, imagine, Allah knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have to ask, why did you do it? Is a chance for Iblis to make tawbah. Yeah, this is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even for Iblis. When Allah is asking, why did you do this? It is not because Allah doesn't know. Allah knows. Iblis is makhluk. Allah is makhluk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows why he did and why and so on and so forth. He doesn't have to ask. Allah doesn't have to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have immediately thrown him into the hellfire. Allah could have destroyed him. Allah is giving him also a chance to make tawbah. So why did you do this? And what is Iblis's reaction to that? Iblis's reaction to that is to reiterate and emphasize his position. خَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ نَارٍ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينٍ. Iblis was a racist. He's talking about racial superiority. You made me out of fire and you made him out of clay. So I'm superior to him. I'm a white man, he's a black man, I'm superior. I'm a black man, he's a white man, or he's an Indian, or I'm superior. I'm an Indian, he's a black man, so I'm superior. All of these are racist statements, all of these are reflections of Iblis. And see where it landed Iblis. So he defies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He reiterates his position. Now all of this story has been told to us for what? So that we implement the right thing in our lives, which is that we do not defy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before us, we obey. And if we are not able to obey, if we made a mistake, we make tawbah. Because same thing happened to Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam was told, don't go near that tree. Which tree? Some tree? It doesn't have to be some great important tree with some fancy qualities. No. This is just a test of obedience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't touch that chair. Why? What's so special about the chair? It's like any other chair. No. What is special about the chair was that that chair was pointed at by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, do not touch that chair. That's it. So don't go near that tree. Now he went near the tree. He made a mistake. What is his reaction? He's not saying, no, you see this happened, that happened. No. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Both him and his wife, our mother and father, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh Allah, it is our fault. We have transgressed against ourselves. It is our fault. And if you don't forgive us, we will be destroyed. Ya Allah, please forgive. The nature of the mistake or the nature of the crime is the same, which is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one individual reiterates that. No, I have a right to do that. Where the other one says, no, this is my mistake. I should never have done that. Please forgive me. And this is the lesson from Surah Al-Kahf, to say that why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us about Iblis? Because Iblis is the one who then spins all these yarns. So do not fall into the trap of Iblis. How many things that do we do? Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us to do things which are for our own benefit. How many of these things do we do? We know it causes harm. Many people, what do you ask them? If you ask them, what is the biggest problem of our ummah? They will say it is disunity. It is correct, very true. How does disunity happen? One of the primary causes for disunity is ghiba and buhtan, backbiting and slander. Yes? Whatever you have to say to somebody, say it to his face. Don't go and talk behind his back. And slander is 1,000 times worse because the man didn't even do that. You are foisting something on the person. You are manufacturing this evil and putting it on somebody. So and so said this when the man never said it. Bohtan is much worse. And ghiba itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compared it to eating the flesh of your dead brother. Do we do this or do we not do this? This has become our brand. This has become our hallmark. May Allah protect us. How terrible this is. Backbiting and slander. And at the same time, we say, no, what can we do? There is so much of disunity in the ummah. What did you expect to happen from if you are engaging in backbiting and slander? You think hearts will come close? Do you think there will be unity? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us about this. I am giving only one example and I will leave you to think of all the other ways in which we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is enough inshallah. Second thing about, or the last one about this with regard to Suratul Kahf is, we know Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us to read Suratul Kahf on Jummah, and he said that this surah is protection against Dajjal. And we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to protect us against Dajjal. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make dua in Salah, last dua before Salam, where he sought protection against Dajjal. And this is the dua we also make when we, just before we make Salam in Salah. Some of the ulama have said that this dua is wajib in Salah, without which the Salah is not correct, and so on and so forth. But basically the point is that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua against protection, dua for protection against Dajjal. Now, what is the relationship of Dajjal to this surah? Why this surah with respect to protection from Dajjal? Is because the fitna of Dajjal, the test and evil of Dajjal will also be based on the same four things. There will be a test of faith. Dajjal will claim to be God. And what is the one of the primary signs of godhood, so to speak, is to bring back the dead. So the Dajjal will kill somebody and he'll bring him back to life. So he says, see, I am God, because I can make the dead come alive. So test of faith. Second test of Dajjal will be the test of wealth, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the ability to call down the rain, to crops to grow, for the earth to give up its treasures, and so on. So Dajjal will say to people that I can give you wealth, I can take away wealth. So the test of wealth. So test of faith, test of wealth. Third will be Dajjal will come with so-called news of the future. So prophecies and so on. This will happen, that's what. That is test of knowledge. Test of knowledge. And the fourth one will be the issue of power and authority, which Allah will give him control over large parts of the world. So therefore, that is the test of power and authority. The same four things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the surah, and he taught us through the stories of the four different people of what one must do when one is faced with these trials. So the reason why the connection of Suratul Kahf as a protection against Dajjal is because Dajjal also represents the same four kinds of threats that are mentioned in this surah. So what must we do with regard to our life in this connection? The first test is the test of faith. So therefore, ikhlasun niyyah with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'alluq ma'allah and ikhlasun niyyah. Having ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, setting time aside for to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tomorrow, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me hayat and tawfiq, we'll talk about the importance of spiritual development and what time we spend and so on. So ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ikhlasun niyyah, the sincerity of the intention with which we do everything. So this is something for us to think about and do. Second one, test of wealth. What must we do? Humility and thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah has given us wealth, alhamdulillah, we always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always try to help other people with this wealth. Not use the wealth to become arrogant, not use the wealth as showing off to people and so on and so forth, which is what the man did, and that's what caused him the problem. So second thing is with regard to thankfulness. Third thing with regard to knowledge is, what must we do? Inculcate humility in ourselves. Understand, inculcate humility in ourselves. Who is an alim today? Who is an alim? Somebody who has read how many books? 10 books? 20 books? 200 books? Out of those 200 books, random recall, how much will he know? Anybody, whoever it is, irrespective, that is an alim. Even if you take our own salaf, I'm not even talking about the real ilm, which is the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the ilm given to the Anbiya. I'm talking even our own salaf, our own pious predecessors, the classical scholars. They didn't talk in terms of 10 and 20. They talked in terms of hundreds of thousands. The standard itself was so high. So today, if I qualify from some religious institution, from Jamia or some madrasa or from Darul Uloom or something, and I say, I am alim so and so, la hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Test of knowledge. Humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know nothing. You know absolutely nothing. It's only by the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives you some knowledge which you are able to talk, and therefore people gather to you, not because you have knowledge, but because they have less knowledge than you. We live in a world where which is so ignorant. Sometimes, you know, I don't know whether to laugh or to cry. People come to me and they say, oh, mashallah, you've got such tremendous knowledge. You are a sea of knowledge. I say, la hawla quwwata illa billah. You never saw a sea. All that it shows that you have no clue what a sea is. Go look at a sea, then tell me. Sea of knowledge? So I don't know whether I should laugh or I should cry. Every time somebody introduces me, I don't know if I should laugh or I should cry. I'm not joking. I'm not being modest. This is a reality. People look up to somebody like me and think I'm an alim, not because I'm an alim, but because they don't even know what I know. It's a sign of ignorance of the times, not a sign of ilm. May Allah protect us from that. So that is humility, third. And the last one is the issue of arrogance that comes with some authority. Allah has given some wealth, Allah has given some power, and we act as if we own the world. You talk to people without respect, you treat people without respect, you act like, you know, the earth is not enough to support your weight. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So these four tests, and these are the cures for those four tests. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu to enable us to understand His kalam and to implement it in our lives, and we ask Allah to fill our lives with the barakah of His kalam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all those who try to harm us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to forgive our sins and to cover us with His mercy and to forgive our faults and cover our faults. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.